Sorry, came out of my brain as I'm speaking.
You're in holiday.
Morning, councillors. Councillors, notice is hereby given that an ordinary meeting of Central Islands Council is scheduled to be held in the Bothwell Council Chamber of Bothwell on Tuesday, the 18th of April 2023, commencing at 9 a.m. I certify under section 65 of the Local Government Act 1993 that the matters to be discussed under this agenda have been, where necessary, subject to advice from the suitably qualified person, and that such advice has been taken into account in providing advice to the council dated on the 13th day of April 2023, Kim Hossack, General Manager. So in opening, I ask all councils to be, councillors to be respectful to each other and abide by the structure of the meeting rules, our Local Government Act Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015. Audio recording disclaimer as per Regulation 33.2A of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015. Audio recordings of meetings will be made available to councillor staff and members of the wider community, including government agencies, at no charge, and will be made available on council's website as soon as practical after each council meeting. Unlike Parliament, council meetings are not subject to parliamentary privilege, and both council and the individual may be liable for comments that may be regarded as offensive, derogatory and or defamatory. The Mayor advises the meeting and members of the public that council meetings, not including closed sessions, are audio recorded and published on the council's website in accordance with council's policy 2017-50. The Mayor advises that members of the public are not permitted to make audio recordings of the council meetings. 3. Acknowledgement of country. I acknowledge the traditional owners of this land, which is mainly Aboriginal people, past, present and future. Present, myself, Deputy Mayor Allwright, Councillor Miller, Councillor Bowden, Councillor Honour, Councillor Meacham, Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Bailey, Councillor Hall, General Manager Kim Hossack and Janet taking the minute taker. So obviously there's no apologies. There's no leave of absence at this moment. When would be a good time to discuss that leave of absence, General Manager, now or in closed?
Is it concerning how you go about a leave of absence?
Just a basic understanding, I think.
Okay. Well, I can do it now if you like.
Yeah.
That's fine. A leave of absence is when you know ahead of time of whether you're going to be absent from a meeting, whereas an apology is very much closer to the date, like on the morning or the evening that all of a sudden you're unable to attend, you'll be recorded as an apology. But if you have, you know that you're going to be away, say if you're going to be on holidays or an extended period of time, where it might be where a council meeting is going to be held, that is when you apply for a leave of absence. And it is formally adopted around the table. So they grant you leave of absence as a council that you're allowed to be away. I mean, it's basically to do with more lengthy period of time. So elected councillors are aware you will be away for a longer period of time.
So where does that leave us if we know, Kim, that let's say a week or fortnight out that we can't go to that meeting? Is that a leave of absence or an apology, just that one meeting?
I would recommend it's a leave of absence because you can write to myself and then it'll appear on the agenda because that is...
Right, even though it's only one day, which is not quite what you said there, a lengthy period.
The length of period is not so much the issue, it's the amount of council meetings you might miss.
Yeah.
Or the meetings or special meetings.
Councillor Cassidy, or committee meetings. Question, I think.
Yes, through the chair. Kim, so confirm that's only applies to a council meeting, special council meetings, closed sessions, because those are the legal requirements.
That's correct. Okay. Or a committee meeting, which is like a special meeting, of council, which is like your planning authority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Our workshops?
They're not council workshops are not under legal meeting procedures. They're not run under that legislation. Yeah, so they're not. There's no need for a leave of absence.
Councillor Cassidy, one more.
Can I hammer you again? Are you hammering at one of us?
No, not at all. The mayor just asked me to ratify that because she'd received a question from around the table. And I suppose the other thing, while we're talking leave of absence too, all councillors, you must be aware too that if you're absent for three or more meetings, you can be removed from office.
I thought that was because she hadn't sent apologies.
It depends. I know that's a little bit, but it's just a general rule. If you formally have something in place, like a leave of absence in place, officially notifying, probably is to the apologies on the day. Yeah. You shouldn't be you're technically not allowed to miss three or more.
So if you have a leave of absence or an apology, then you're covered for three?
Not so much an apology, no.
A leave of absence,
yes.
All right, good.
Because sometimes circumstances can occur where to do with sickness or treatment or a family emergency, any of that sort of thing, where you all of a sudden you need to be away for a particular reason that you can't get out of.
So let's say, for example, if I knew in advance that I was going to be absent for maybe two,
mm-hmm.
and then I put in a leave of absence to cover those two, but then let's say the third one. Maybe something came up, treatment came up, or got sick, or COVID, or something like that. Would that count as three against them?
Would have to check with that, with the local government.
Let's say, for example, the first day, I know, I can't be here, so I'm going to send in an apology today.
Yeah.
But then, down the track, I find out, maybe that little spot there was a little bit deeper than I thought. It's gone all the way through the other ear. So I'm going to be gone, and I need a leave of absence to cover me for two or three or whatever. So are we legally covered or not?
I would have to check that, Councillor Cassidy, because it's open to interpretation.
Okay.
But, of course, the intent of it is to, just like... myself in a workplace, unexplained absences, that's more to do with unexplained.
Yeah.
That's good. Thank you. That's good. We'll move on to number 8, pecuniary interest declarations. In accordance with Regulation 8.7 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, the chairperson requests councillors to indicate whether they or a close associate have or are likely to have a pecuniary interest, any pecuniary or pecuniary detriment or conflict of interest in any item of the agenda.
Excuse me, Mayor, could I please ask what they mean by a close associate? Is that like a friend, a family member? What's the definition of associate?
I'm understanding family member especially. Is that right, gentlemen?
Correct.
Yep.
Correct.
Someone you do business with?
Yeah, or a close working, business colleague. If you've got a business colleague, or you're in with a business colleague who's got an application in the council.
Councillor Cassidy?
Yes, I wanted to ask yourself and Kim or the rest of the council. I believe there's another item coming up a bit later about mowing the gun club. I think that's Jason. I'm not a member of the gun club. My wife is a member of the gun club, and I'm happy to step out for you guys to do whatever you want, But, you know, because she's a close associate, I thought, well, if you want me to declare a conflict of interest, I'm happy to. I only advised her what the procedure would be to advise the gun club insofar as making a submission to council or writing a letter or whatever. That was my only involvement. But I'm happy to step out. You guys decide what you want. Up to you. Do you want me to fill out this paper?
Through the mayor, yes, councillor, yes. Right. You would have to remove yourself from
right,
that.
I'm happy.
And it's not on the agenda today, but yes, it is. It is coming. No, it's not on the agenda today because there was... So you don't have to do it today. But yes, that's a very good example of where you'd have to remove yourself.
What's some penalties on there? David Morris, wasn't he going to come and expand on that a bit?
He is.
Talk about his conflict of interest?
Sorry?
Talk about his conflict of interest?
Anyway, we won't go there, thank you. And the old rule is, if in doubt, step out, and that covers yourself, so it's a good thing to remember. 9, perceived interest declaration. Under the model code of conduct made by order of the minister responsible for local government, the following will apply to the council. Part 2, conflict of interest that are not pecuniary. 6, a councillor who has an actual, potential or perceived conflict of interest in a matter before the council must A, declare the conflict of interest and the nature of the interest before discussion on the matter begins, and B, act in good faith and exercise reasonable judgment to determine whether a reasonable person would consider that the conflict of interest requires a councillor to remove himself or herself physically from any council discussion and remain out of the room until the matter is decided by council. 10, closed session of the meeting. Regulation 15.1 of the local government. Oh, sorry. Was there any perceived interest declarations? Thanks, Kim. I forgot. Yeah. Thank you. 10, closed session of the meeting. Regulation 15.1 of the local government meeting procedures. Regulation 2015 states that at a meeting of council by absolute majority or a council committee by simple majority may close a part of the meeting to the public for a reason specified in sub-regulation 2 as per regulation 15.1 of the local government meeting procedures, regulation 2015, this motion requires an absolute majority. May I have a mover, please? Councillor Honour, a seconder. I think it was Councillor Cassidy. Those 4 against, that is carried. So we will now go into the closed session of the meeting. In the closed session, we will have the confirmation of the minutes of the closed session of the ordinary meeting of the 21st of March 2023. Number 2 will be the confirmation of minutes of the closed session of the special meeting of council held on the 27th of March 2023. 3 will be deputations. 4 was supplementary agenda items. 5, provision of medical services. 6, consideration of matters for disclosure to the public. And the time is 9:15. 9:13 we'll go with. 2 o'clock. Councillors, ready? All right.
What was that?
I'll reopen the meeting to the public. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we?
Not too bad, thank you.
That's good. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are we?
Good.
Have you come through?
That's right. We just don't know where the... I don't want to stand, so I'm looking at your back.
That's all right. Thank you. Okay, so we have our deputation, the Lions Club. Now, I'll open the meeting now at
10:10.
10. What was that, Kirsten?
10:10.
10:10? Thank you. My, I'm going to be a little bit fast there. So, 11, reopen the meeting to the public. The meeting reopened to the public at 10:10 a.m. The mayor advises to the meeting and members of the public that council meetings, not including closed sessions, are audio recorded and published on council's website. Members of the public are not permitted to make audio recordings of council meetings. Number 12 is deputations from the Bodwell Lions Club. And we welcome, who have we got? Tony.
Malcolm.
Malcolm, John. That's it?
That's it.
Yes, and over there in the corner, I think we've got Damien.
Yep.
Reporter, correct? Okie doke. Public question time. In accordance with the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, the council conducts a public question time forum to enable members of the public to ask questions on council-related matters. So prior to that, we will invite, who would like to speak on behalf of the Lions?
I will speak.
Welcome. You. Malcolm, would you like to come up here? And
I've put a seat over there in the left.
I'd rather stand if you don't mind.
That's
I think
fine.
You talk better when I'm standing up.
That is good.
And I can look at everyone's faces.
Welcome, Malcolm.
Thank you very much.
Now, you know all the councillors?
No, I do not.
Oh,
no.
I'm introduced. We've got Deputy Mayor Alright.
Hello, how are you?
Councillor Yvonne Miller.
Hello.
Councillor Scott Bowden.
Hello.
Councillor Julie Honor.
Hello, Julie, yes.
Councillor David Meacham.
Good day.
Councillor Robert Cassidy.
Hello, Robert, yes.
Councillor Tony Bailey. Pardon me. Councillor John Hall. Our General Manager, Kim Hossack.
Oh, pleased to meet you.
Oh, have you met Kim?
No, we've spoken on a sort of.
Oh, yes. And Janet on a minute.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. The Lions, as you already know, the Lions Club is proposed to build a shelter with a table, very similar to the ones that we've also processed along with the council several years ago in Queen's Park, without a barbecue this time. The reason we looked at looking at up near the police station was because Peter Birchall was a policeman. The second thing was that it would stand out where the people can see it. Because I've actually been a ratepayer here since 1980, and I didn't even know that there was a table down below there or a nice bridge. So we don't really want to actually put up something that people are not even going to be able to see. We want something that stands out that people can see as they drive past and something that people can use. We don't want to waste our money building something that people won't use. And I've spoken to a few people around the town and they think it's a good idea because people then can stop, buy a cup of tea or a sandwich and then go up to near the police station and sit in the shelter. Or if the local community, I know lots of people do lots of walks and that's why we have a bridge down there, is that if it's raining they can shelter in the shelter, or they can go up there and say, I will meet you in the shelter there. That's one of the reasons why we would like to have it there. So, and I believe reading from a little piece in the Unorfolk paper that the location is an issue. Is that correct?
We're just here to listen, we're not here to debate or
anything. Ah, okay, that's all right then. That's all right then. Okay.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
Okay.
That's
sorry about that then. So that's the reason why we proposed that site. And we had a look with Jason. And looked to see where it would be a good site up there that one wouldn't flood, two, easy access. So there's not much more I can say other than that's what we proposed to have it up there for.
Thank you very much. So as you would understand, we will not debate on it here in the open session. We're here to listen to you as a deputy.
Okay, that's not a problem then.
Thank you.
Okay.
Is there anyone else from the Lions that would like to speak or no?
Mr. Gilkin?
Yeah.
Mr. Bolger.
Wayne and John sit back down. Robert's got something to say there.
Councillor Cassidy, I will chair. Councillor Cassidy and then Deputy Mayor, all right.
All righty. May I ask a couple of questions, Mayor?
Yes.
John, so I guess your preferred location is that because the bridge ends up and the picnic table ends up underwater down there?
That's one of the reasons as well, but we picked the spot, one, so the people can see it, and two, it is not prone to flooding.
And the one up by, on Wentworth, are you concerned about the steep cliff there? There might be a hazard.
We really want it so it stands out to the public, not something that's poked around the back somewhere where people have to drive down back streets to find and not even know it's there. That's one of the main reasons that we'd like to have it, so that's so an issue in the face, so when you drive past. Yeah.
Deputy Mayor.
So, just remind me, how big was this?
The current one up in Queen's Park, it's got a 5-metre square slab.
Yeah.
We propose not to make it quite so big because that's got a barbecue on it. We don't need the barbecue.
So it wasn't quite so big, half the size?
No, I reckon it still need to be at least probably 4-metre square.
4 metres square.
That would mean a nice bit of concrete around the outside.
And like enclosed on a couple of walls or something?
No, currently
it's just the roof.
Yeah, just the roof on four legs.
Yeah.
We talked about the ones up there having shelters on one side. We've had, I don't know how many years now, quite a few years, and we haven't needed that. So that might change down there, but if that changes down there,
we'll have roof or pitch roof?
Well, we're leaving it up.
You haven't got
Graham organised the last one for us.
Yeah.
And he said he's got a supplier that will supply them. So we just want to buy what the council approved. We don't want to make any changes. We just want to say, you bought them up at Durham Bridge and we bought them for here. We just want something similar. We don't want to change the design.
Yeah.
Councillor Meacham, you had a question?
Yes. Would this be the standard aluminium, you know, rounded corners type setup, or would it be something that's more sympathetic to that top side?
Well, the problem is that we would like to make it similar to what's here. One is to make it, the council to approve it here.
Yeah.
And two, we want to make it so it's, the tables especially are easy to clean and won't get destroyed by people putting hot materials on them. And so aluminium table and chairs and a nice colour bond type building.
Is it similar to that one there that's at the platypus wall?
Well, actually, one like that, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You would have one of those in your
minutes? Yeah.
That's the memorial one at the platypus wharf down in Hamilton. That would give you an idea. Councillor Miller.
Look, if that's just a single one that you're after, not like the one that they've got up at, excuse me, up at the playground at Hamilton where there's two tables and chairs over the one. You just want a single one?
Well, we currently would like to just have one shelter and one set of table and chairs.
Is that the same with the way the table and chairs are there?
Well, actually, the table and chairs on the current one up here are not quite like that. They're not. They're separate to the building itself. Is that ours?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
mine. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I did send it on my email, some pictures.
Okay, so there's one there.
Yeah. So
we can get you a photocopy.
Yeah, so that's like a stand aluminium table with a big seats. Formed into one unit.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so that's very similar to the platform's fourth one.
Yes. We don't want to move away to something different than what the council already has at their other sites.
Councillor Cassidy.
Oh, sir. May I ask, so what are you asking today of council? What would you like as an outcome?
We would hope that the council would probably be able to dig the foundations and lay the concrete. And the Lions Club would pay for the seats and the building and erect it.
Correct. congratulations, I reckon.
Sorry?
I reckon congratulations for wanting to do it for the community. Well done.
Thank you very much. That's what we're here for.
Do you want to show you that one?
See, here's a similar one which is smaller. If you like to pass that around, I hope it won't go into sleep mode. But that's a smaller one.
Thanks, Terry.
But it's very similar to the ones that are here.
Yeah.
It's just only smaller in size.
And if I can say, councillors, if you do lose that, if you have a look at page 13 of your agenda,
yeah,
as the mayor has indicated, yeah, under, yeah, you'll see the similar one.
It's gone, yeah.
As an
example. That one's on the Hobart, yeah. That one's on the Hobart side of, yeah.
Yvonne,
it's
a
similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other questions
around
the table,
councillors?
Councillor Honor.
Yeah, one reason I feel that like a bar on Wentworth Street would be good is just actually overlooking the police station.
Yeah, but we feel that people would have to go and find it.
Well, so many people use that area
for
picnics and that.
Okay, that's good, because everyone I've spoken to didn't even know it existed.
Oh.
And I didn't even know it existed, but I don't live here. I live up the road. So we've had lots of people in this town that don't even know that there's a table and chair down there.
Thank you. Any other questions around the table, councillors?
No.
Alrighty. Well, in saying that, I'll thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you, John and Tony.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Number 13 is public question time. In accordance with the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, the Council conducts a public question time forum to enable members of the public to ask questions on Council-related matters. A period of 15 minutes, if required, will be set aside at the beginning of each ordinary Council meeting to conduct public question time. If a response to a question cannot be provided at the meeting, a written response will be provided as soon as practical. A member of the public may give written notice to the General Manager 7 days before a meeting of a question to be put to the meeting. The chairperson may invite any member of the public present at a meeting to ask questions without notice relating to activities of council, subject to the provisions of clause 2 below. 1. Once question time commences, the chairman or chairperson will determine the order in which questions are heard. 2. Questions may relate to any business of council capable of being discussed in the open portion of the meeting, and which is not listed as an item for consideration on the agenda for the council meeting. 3. Members of the public proposing a question are required to be present at the council meeting at which their question is to be read. Where a person submits a question for public question time but fails to attend the meeting, the question will be treated as general correspondence and a written response will be provided at the earliest opportunity. 4. A person asking a question when called upon by the chairperson is requested to 1. Stand, 2. State their name and address, 3. Read out their question. 5. The chairperson retains the right to accept or decline questions and to determine if the question is to be answered at the meeting by the appropriate councillor or employee or written down and taken on notice. The decision to take the question on notice may also be taken by the councillor or employee to whom the question is directed. Questions taken on notice will be answered at a later meeting. 6. The chairperson may rule a question inappropriate or thus inadmissible if, in his or her opinion, it has already been asked, is unclear, irrelevant, insulting, improper, or relates to any matter which would normally be discussed in the closed portion of the meeting as defined in the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015. 7. Public Question Time Forum will be limited to a maximum of 15 minutes in duration and will be declared closed following the expiration of the allocated time period, or where all valid questions have been dealt with, whichever is the sooner. 8. Each question is to be asked by the proponent, who will be allowed a maximum of 3 minutes in which to put the question. 9. The chairperson will not allow any discussion or debate on either the question or the response. 10. Where a person proposes more than one question at any one forum, and there are a number of persons wishing to lodge questions, the chairperson may take the questions in such order so as to hear as many members of the public as practical during the time allocated. 11. The minutes of the council meeting will contain a summary of each question asked by members of the public and the response given. 12. Public statements as opposed to questions will not be accepted for the reason that statements could be considered a form of participation. Pertaining to any planning authority, agenda item within its agenda, council will do so in accordance with council's policy 2017-49. Both the public question time procedure above and the council's policy 2017-49, public comment on planning agenda items, will be available for the public to view at the meeting. Councillor Cassidy.
Madam Mayor, in council, I don't know how you feel about it, is it perhaps appropriate that we could make this more gender neutral? Just say, instead of writing chairman, have chairperson. Is that okay when they type it up, Kim? And also, I would like to ask, since we don't really have any members of the public here to ask us questions, I'm discounting Mr. Bester, is it possible in the future that we could dispense with reading all of item 13? Perhaps we could just say item 13, blah, 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 and just one quick brief statement. This way you don't have to read through all of it, Madam Mayor, and we could just rock and roll with the council meeting. Yeah. Is it legally possible that we could do that?
I'm not sure about the legality of that. I might ask the GM for a comment on that one, because probably it's in accordance with the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015.
Probably the better for yourself and anyway.
GM, I think it's necessary to read that, isn't it? Not, or it wouldn't be in here.
Through the Mayor, yes, it is. It does have to appear on the agenda, because, I mean, up until you have your meeting today, you don't know whether you're going to have people in the public. But I suppose Councillor Cassidy does have a point. I mean, if you know we don't have anybody in the gallery at the time, you could make a reason. You could start at the start of the public question time. You can say, in lieu of not having anybody present in the gallery for public question times, you'll refrain from reading that out because it's not applicable at that time. But it does need to appear on the agenda.
That's what I thought.
At all times for the public.
Do we need a motion for that or not? Or can we just do it casually?
Pardon?
Do we need a motion for that adjustment, or can we just do it casually?
No, I don't think so. I think that's up to the mayor how she chairs the meeting.
How about the chairperson versus chairman?
That is okay. With the comment with that, what is stated within the agenda comes from your public question time procedure. So it's part of a policy and a procedure. Mm-hmm. So that would need to be amended.
May I move a motion that we have that amended to a gender neutral term, chairperson? This way it covers everybody. Anytime.
Is that in accordance with the Local Government Can we do that? I'm a little bit concerned we're interfering with regulations.
Yes. There's certain bits of this, I'd have to check, there's certain bits of this which is our own procedure. There is specific things in the meeting regulations and so forth. And yes, of course, I would have to check to see whether the chairperson, because the chairperson is referred, and if you just give me a moment. The chairperson is still part of the current meeting procedures. It is within our legislation of record.
It specifically states chairperson or
chairperson,
meaning
a person who chairs the meeting.
So that means that we should make ours more reflective of that. Is that correct?
Well, yes, we should use paired. Yes, we probably should reflect more to the regulations and refer to a chairperson rather than a chairman.
So does that need a motion, or can we just fix it?
I can fix that because I know, except in the actual policies that are referred to at the end, that is different. Okay. But for here, we should refer to
Thank
the
you.
Correct
I'll,
terminology.
I'll withdraw my motion then.
Yeah, I can make that change.
So around the table, we have bit of that. Yes, no more comment on that. All right. Okay, we shall move on.
Madam Mayor, if it's appropriate, I do have a couple of questions.
Okay.
For the meeting.
Welcome.
Thank you. For those who don't know me, my name's Damien Bester. I'm the editor and owner of Yenorbrook and Derwent Valley News, which is a newspaper that circulates in this municipality, as well as in the neighbouring municipality. I'd like to ask, what is the rationale for the council's prohibition on members of the public and members of the press making audio recordings of open council meetings?
As you see here, we are audio recording at the moment. Yes? So,
I acknowledge that, but what is the reason for the prohibition on other people doing the same?
Well, I believe is that to do with our policy?
Yes, public question time policy.
Absolutely. And what is the reason for that? That's what I'm trying to get to. What is the reason? What is the council concerned about in members of the public and members of the press, a working journalist such as myself? I'm sorry, I'm heading into making a statement, which is not prohibited. But as a working journalist, it is a useful tool to have a recording of the council meeting to check the accuracy. And with respect, the council's recording sometimes takes a little time to appear on the website and become available, and sometimes there are glitches, let's say, in the recording. So I'll come back to my question. What is the reason for the council's prohibition on members of the public and members of the press from making a recording?
Well, as I say, it is in our policies.
Absolutely. The policies... I apologise. I'm speaking over you. I apologise.
Thank you. I've got Deputy Mayor Allwright and then Councillor Honour, then Councillor Cassidy. Deputy Mayor?
So doesn't our policy prohibit it unless the member of the public makes an application to do it? So they have to notify the council as well. I'll take a view that when you say that it's prohibited, but it's not really, it's just that the councillors, anyone else has to know that there's another recording happening.
I did mention that in the early part of the meeting, that the audio recording.
Yeah, it is prohibited. That's what you said, but it's not quite accurate.
That's what it's
Well, perhaps we should take this on notice for further discussion.
We can get that policy up and see what it says.
Have we got it here or not? Audio
recording of council meetings policy. I have a hard copy here.
Thank you.
Well, I got that wrong. It allows for the public to record as long as
Is it 48 hours or something?
Oh, I don't know about that, but I can't remember.
Yes, I think you're correct, and I think it's part of what the mayor read out at the beginning of the meeting. Sorry, I'm just trying to see my policy. Well, if you don't mind, I'll just take the time for 6 months. Yep, because it's legislated, I'll make sure it's policy already at council meeting.
Madam Mayor, may I speak while Ms. Reed?
Yes, who did I have down? Councillor, all right, Councillor Honour, then Cassidy.
I think, isn't it because also these are draft minutes until they are confirmed at the next meeting?
That's probably the time, yeah.
Like, and a lot of people don't say in, say newspapers, whatever, but in correspondence, they don't say that it's only draft at the moment until the next council meeting where everything's ratified.
Yes, correct. Councillor Cassidy? Thanks, Councillor.
We can't release.
Well,
Councillor Cassidy?
I seem to recall in the past that I've attended council meetings and we were in the field and so forth, and there was cameras and all sorts of audio recording devices, but we never told them. You can't record or take photos of me. I think that in a situation like this, for complete transparency of governance, local government, I think the press, we should make an exception for the press or grant them, or make the press aware that they may record so long as they say, well, maybe a week before they attend council meeting, that I'm going to be in attendance at your council meeting and I would like to record, or I'd like to take a video. I think something like that would certainly be acceptable. And that was my understanding, in fact, of the policy after it came out in January, was it?
It was.
So I think that the press or the media is allowed to record so long as they notify council in advance. And, you know, Mr. Besser, may I ask, did you tell anybody today, I mean, in advance of coming here?
No, and if I may respond to some of these issues, the policy allows a member of the public, including a person who identifies as a member of the media, to apply for permission to record. And of course that permission can be declined. And that permission can be withdrawn. And the policy allows the chairperson, to order that a recording be suspended during a meeting. So all of these things infringe upon the rights of the public and the press.
So I would, you know, like to continue then. Thank you for answering the question. I would say that we have nothing to hide as a council. We should have nothing to hide. The only time...
That's why we're audio recording. There's nothing being hidden anywhere.
The only... But oftentimes I have gone back to check on agenda item and I could not hear it myself. Or there was clicking, or there was movement of chairs, and all sorts of interference, static sometimes. So it's not the highest quality system that we have. And also, I have had ratepayers contact me about what was said, or they couldn't understand what was said on the recording, or the recording wasn't available when they went to check the website. So a lot of this information that we put out as a council that's not in committee or in closed session, it's time critical, and the general public would like to know what the heck is going on. And I would say, in fairness, why not?
So we're not debating it at the moment. I take on board what the member of the public has said, and as I said, it won't be debated at the moment, and I'll hear Councillor Miller in a moment. Councillor Miller, I can see you've got your hand up. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, at the moment, we will probably take on notice what Damien has said.
May I just add, with your indulgence, Chair, I was surprised when this policy was reviewed earlier this year that it was done so quickly in between two council meetings, and there was no opportunity for public consultation or comment on the policy, and I was waiting for that. I was aware that this had come up following, I think, the December meeting. The policy was going to be reviewed, and I thought, fantastic, this is my opportunity to state my case. This is why I think the press should be able to record. But there was no opportunity. The policy came to the next council meeting, and bang, it was approved at the next council meeting.
Okay.
Well, and can I just add also, I apologise, Madam Mayor, a recent Derwent Valley council, both of their recorders failed at their council meeting.
Oh.
So they rang me and asked for a copy of my recording.
Okay.
Which I gladly gave them, and I would gladly do for you in the same situation if I was permitted to record. And I appreciate your indulgence, and I'll sit down.
Thank you. And as I say, we'll take that on notice for discussion. Councillor Miller, any comments?
Yes. Through the chair, at the beginning of the year, we did notice that there were two recording devices which we were told of, and what we don't do here is we don't record when we're not meeting, when we've got. And my concern at that stage was that private conversations had been recorded without our knowledge. And I think that was why we reviewed the policy. But like Councillor Cassidy said, we need to go back to it and have another look. But be aware that that was a concern to us.
Yes, indeed, and I apologise on behalf of myself and on the reporter who were at that meeting, because we were not aware of the council's policy. So every other council meeting I've attended, I would turn my reporter on and I put it on the mantelpiece in that situation because it was closer to you than where I was sitting in the gallery. But I was not aware that the council policy was not permitting the recording, and I do apologise in that situation, and the general manager notified me of what was going on. I was quite open in walking over and putting the recorder on the mantelpiece, and obviously several of you saw me do that. I didn't know it was an issue, so again I apologise for that.
No, we accept that apology, Damien. Thank you. Councillor Smedjian.
I'm a great defender of the Truth of State. I think that journalists make great allies and formidable adversaries. I'd like us to arrive at some better arrangement in relation to this. So I urge that we put it to probably a workshop discussion as soon as possible. I do think, you know, the transparency washes both ways. And I think for a lot of us, it was a shock at that Hamilton meeting to realise that it carried on through a period that there was private discussions. It just that transparency. So a statement, a verbal statement ahead of time, look, this has been recorded by the press. And I do, like, by way of transparency, I know it enables you also, Damien, to write up the process, you know, faster, sooner, and thus creates a better channel to our community about what we're doing.
Yeah.
So, but I'm saying, let's put it to a workshop, please.
Thank you. Councillor Cassidy, and then we'll move on.
Yes, Madam Mayor. My last bite of this apple. I'd like to move a motion that we, rather than workshop it, it's a simple matter. I'd like to move a motion that we review the policy in light or with a view to amend it to allow the media and journalists to record if they give prior notice to the general manager.
Councillor, if we're working toward a workshop, that recommendation would probably be in a workshop.
I'm saying there's no need for a workshop.
Well, that is you, but right, I'm hearing other councillors would like a workshop.
I have the floor right now, Madam Mayor. Insofar as, you know, I have to state, politicians around the world get caught out saying the stupidest things at the most inappropriate time because, well, I guess maybe because of human beings, but at the same time, they should be aware that there's always somebody listening. And I'll tell you the truth, the God's honest truth, I'm not on Facebook, I'm not on Instagram, I'm not on social media, because I'm a tell it like it is kind of guy and I don't put up with any bullshit from anybody. So I want to state that, you know, we need to just be careful. You know, we're public figures, sort of. Not maybe at the same stature as Brian Mitchell or somebody like that, but at the same time, we have a responsibility, and I think we should be aware of what we say and shouldn't be afraid that, oh, a recorder was left on the mantle while we're eating lunch or something.
Okay,
like that.
We won't get into that. What we will do at this moment, as I say, I do take on board that perhaps this audio is poor quality. I'm understanding, I'm hearing that. I'm also hearing the councillors would like a workshop on this. This is to do with policy, so we won't make immediate decisions at the moment. Deputy Mayor Allwright, you had your hand up.
Yes. I'd like to pick up on another point that Damien raised, that maybe it's a good idea we should think about putting our policies out for public comment before we adopt them. Mm-hmm. And there's probably some policies that operational policies that wouldn't be subject to that, obviously, and there might be some like in committee type of thing. So, but it sounds to me like the audio one could possibly be put out for public comment. We have a workshop, see what we want it to look like. Put that open to the public to comment. My expectation is you wouldn't get many comments, but at least the process is there. And,
that sounds good, Councillor. All right, Deputy Mayor, GM, sorry.
No, I don't have any further comments. We can talk about it all at the workshop and talk about the legislation that's behind it and as per the meeting procedures, because that's where it starts.
Madam Mayor, I would be perfectly happy if it would help you as a group to speak to you informally after this session or at a workshop if you'd like to talk about it. Can I just pick up the issue of the recorder at the January meeting picking up private conversations? That recorder was on for a minute or two prior to you all returning from the tea room. And as I explained to the general manager at the time, I went and put the recorder over there while you were coming back in so that I did not interrupt the meeting by moving around the room once you were in progress. That was the only reason for putting it there. Can I tell you, I'm not interested as a reporter, not all would say this, but I'm not interested as a reporter in your private conversations around the table. If there were any, I'm not interested. I am not one of those gotcha journalists. I've been doing this for 30 years. I've been a councillor previously for 8 years. So I understand this. I want to work with you. Yeah. I want to work with the Durham Valley Council. I live in the same community as you. If I do something wrong, you can tell me when you see me in the Hamilton Cafe or in Banjos in New Norfolk, or in Ooze, or wherever you see me, you can tell me, and I hope that you will tell me if I've done something that's agreed with you, because that's how we get a good understanding of each other, and we get better reporting. I've kept promising to sit down. I'm going to sit down and allow you to carry on.
Thank you, and we may invite you to a workshop, Damien.
Thank you.
All righty.
Can I just say one thing?
Can I just please say, dealing with policies before, policies need to be discussed, and I believe it needs to be done at a workshop so that we've got time to discuss it, not now.
Thank you. Okay, so
what about my
we don't need a motion for a workshop, do we?
No.
But I put a motion forward to adjust the policy. Do I need to withdraw that motion?
Would we need to withdraw that until a workshop meeting on the issue?
Maybe we'll get a second.
It's not a motion, yes. Through the Mayor, it's not a motion until you get a seconder. Councillor didn't get a seconder.
So we'll go into the workshop. Okay. Alrighty, thank you for that, and that is good. And I thank you, Damien, for bringing those points out.
Thank you.
Hopefully, sometime soon, you will be invited to a workshop. And these workshops are so important for councillors, and we do address a lot of things in workshops, and it's more of a freedom of speech, obviously. So it's very good. And you would be invited to a workshop, but certainly not to report on a workshop. So anyway, we shall move on. 14 is commitments. 14.1, mayoral commitments.
John, I was quiet about the mayor.
Okay, I'll reverse.
It's an air vote, not mayoral commitment. Is there anything we ought to know about, you had a meeting with the Friends of Ossley Church.
Yes.
And whether they've been successful in negotiating the price with the diocese and how they're going with...
I can say, because you weren't here Thursday, there's a process happening and hopefully they will be successful in purchasing. That's all I can say. I can't give any more information because it's in a process. So that's all I can give you on that.
We had some discussion, some email, but it didn't seem to say anything.
I can chat to you later on, but at the moment it's in process. Yeah. All right, 14.2, councillor commitments. 14.4, general manager's commitments. 14.4, deputy general manager commitment. 15, notification of council workshops held. Workshops were held on the below date. 13th of April budget workshop dates. Councillor bus tour, the dates have been set for that. That was a long conversation with those councillors present. The National Australian Local Government Association conference in Canberra, the campground fire pits, the recycling wheelie bins and rubbish meeting we've seen at the ASCU, future workshops. The next council workshops will be held on the following day. Now, these workshops are confirmed because in the council workshop, when councillors to and fro with dates to suit as many as they could, so these have been set. The 9th of May 2023-2024 budget, the 9th of June...
We've got a planning meeting that day.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Okay. So thank you for that. That's the 9th, isn't it?
Yeah.
The planning meeting.
The planning committee meeting
is prior to that, and then we have our budget workshop, and then the 9th of June 2023-24 is another budget meeting. So please put those down. They're very important. Thank you to Councillors Miller, Meacham, Honour and Hall for your attendance at the meeting with Senator Askew. That was a brilliant meeting. Hopefully Senator Askew has taken away some very important issues for us. Main issues being telecommunications across the municipality, GP and emergency services, and the Marlborough Highway. So we've got a few things happening, which is very, very good. Now, with the mayoral announcement, I also have a letter received with thanks from the Club Honorary Member Award. Dear councillors, thank you very much for your continued support for this special award, which will be presented at our awards dinner at Boswell Football Rooms on May 13. Your sponsorship amount of $300 will provide a commemorative photo and gift for the current long-serving recipient who will be announced on the night. Thank you also for your support over the past year, and we look forward to working with you again when our new season begins in October. Please pass on our particular thanks to Cherie Nichols and the office staff, who are super efficient and always happy to assist, and to Jason Branch and his works crew, who are wonderful to liaise with and willing to help us in all our endeavours. We certainly are very grateful for his assistance in organising the electrician following our power outage
on our finals weekend on the 1st of April. With grateful thanks, Lynn Lucas, Secretary. So it's nice to have some very positive feedback happening.
Just mention.
And that was from Campcraft in Tasmania Inc. So that, it's good to have those sort of feedbacks. All right, 18 minutes. 18.1, the confirmation of the draft minutes of the 21st of March. Now, you will notice here, unfortunately, the previous minutes that were tabled at the 21st of March 2023 Ordinary Council meeting and subsequently approved were incorrect. A draft version was provided to Council as an attachment instead of the final version in error. Therefore, these minutes are again before you for your approval. So the resolution 05-3-2023C confirming the Ordinary Council meeting of the 21st of February be rescinded. Mover, please. Councillor Honour. Seconder, Councillor Miller. For. Against. That is carried. Thank you. All righty. Confirmation of the draft minutes ordinary meeting 21st of March.
9 February.
Where am I there? Oh, sorry, I've missed one. The draft, thanks Kim. Yeah. The draft minutes ordinary meeting of council held on the 21st of February 2023 be confirmed. Councillor Honour, Councillor Bowden, those four. Any against? That is carried. The draft minutes of the ordinary meeting council held on Tuesday 21st of March 2023 be confirmed. Move it, please. Councillor Honour, Councillor Bailey. For. Against. Carried. Confirmation of draft minutes. The special meeting of council held on the 27th of March 2023 be confirmed. Move it, Councillor Bailey. Seconder, Councillor Hall. For. Against. Carried. Business arising is number 19. Local roads community. So we've got a whole list there. I don't think I need to read all that. You would have read it in front of you.
No.
20 is the Durham Catchment Project monthly report for March. Recommendation of the Durham Catchment Project monthly report be received. Councillor Bailey, Councillor Honour, those four. Is there any against? That is carried. And I think it's always a very good report. Mm. And we thank
She puts a lot of effort into it.
Yeah, they do some pretty good work, eh? In accordance, Council acting as a planning authority. In accordance with Regulation 25.1 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, the Mayor advises that the Council intends to act as a planning authority under the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993 is to be noted. In accordance with Regulation 25, the Council will act as a planning authority in respect to those matters appearing under item 22 in this agenda, inclusive of any supplementary items. Can I please have a move that Council now act as a planning authority? Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Honour. For, against, carried. Welcome Louisa and Cathy.
Good morning.
Good morning, honey.
It's still morning so far. Yes.
It's still morning.
So, over to you. 22.1 reorganisation of boundaries, Watermana Road and Bachelor Road, Water, Louisa.
The Council is in receipt of a development application for the boundary reorganisation of 11 lots of various sizes. They are all in the same ownership, which is Watermana Forestry. The boundary reorganisation is to really assist with consolidating the lots which are productive and reducing the size of some of the lots that were affected by bushfires in 2019 and to assist with access rights and to making the access to the lots easier. There were no representations. It was advertised for the statutory 14 days, possibly more if we had 8-hour day. I can't remember if anyone has. Yeah. So it was an extra day to allow that public holiday. The application meets the development standards of the scheme and is recommended for approval with the conditions which are in front of you. One thing I would just like to point out is in the conditions now, towards the end, in the follow in the advice section, you will note that the last piece of advice there addresses the fact that the boundary reorganisation does not imply approval for any residential use on the lots. We're starting to add this as recommendation advice now in line with the new Tasmanian planning scheme for rural and agricultural lots, because there are very specific standards for residential dwellings in those zones.
Thank you, Louisa. Open the table. Councillor Allwright, Councillor Machin.
The rural access, I note that you've changed the wording here, so that's a great outcome. I was just going to move the recommendation unless David.
Sorry, Councillor Bowen had his hand up.
I
need to move it for discussion first, so could I have a mover in there? That was Councillor Allwright wanted to move it.
I just want to ask Louise a question. And move the recommendation. That's all I want.
Yeah. You have to move
that. But Scott and David want to call. Call Scott.
Through the Mayor, just to remind everybody, you do have to move the recommendation so discussion can occur.
I'll move the recommendation.
I'll second.
Now, the mover to talk to it is Councillor Allwright.
I'll move the recommendation, and I note that the wording around rural access has changed in relation to the previous wording was sealed, which we thought might be a bit confusing for people. So that's a good outcome.
And Councillor Bowden, you had some comments.
I was pleased that you said that it's not for residential, because that was my biggest worry, because I know the fire, which was worst fire I've ever known, just annihilated that whole area, and any amount of rainwater tanks next to the shack type thing wouldn't have saved them, and to me that was my biggest worry. But if it's definitely not going to be turned into hobby blocks and shacks and stuff, then
so just in response to that, the advice isn't that it can't be residential. The advice is that if a development application came in for residential, it's zoned rural, it would have to meet the scheme standards.
So I don't think it could, but that's just me.
Well,
just a moment, please. We have Councillor Machin waiting.
Just a question, Louisa. Does this reorganisation or amalgamation of the, does this have any implications for the roads in the area?
No.
Okay.
No. It meets the standards of the scheme for that.
Councillor Cassidy.
So just to pick up on Scott's point and to clarify that in the future, the developer or applicant here, they may make application for residential use, and so long as it meets the new plan scheme, it's likely that it could be approved unless it receives a representation. Is that correct?
Yes, so residential use is discretionary in the rural zone, and there are some changes to the Tasmanian planning scheme which requires an element of that agricultural use.
So
we are asking applicants to confirm those standards when they make their applications now in agriculture and rural zones. In terms of the bushfire, we have to remember that the bushfire code does not apply for residential dwellings at the planning stage. That is a building requirement.
So how about access roads?
Access roads, yes.
For the fire service?
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much.
Any other questions before I put the vote to the table? Okay. All right, well, it was moved by Councillor Wright, second by Councillor Miller, that option one, is it, Louisa?
I believe so, yes.
That option one be approved. Those for the motion. Is there anyone against the motion? That is carried. Thank you. We'll go on to 22. Town structure planning project. Kathy is the acting development and environmental services manager, and well done for all the work you've been doing, Kathy.
So this is just an update from Damien Mackey. He's now had confirmation from the state planning office that they have reduced their allocation of funding that they're going to give us, and we have received a draft deed only this morning for us to review. So they have committed that amount that Damien has said, the 18,000. So, but it does mean we have to reduce the scope just to the three towns. So that's about on there. So I guess this report is just to give a brief update and to set a meeting of our committee. We do have that committee, so we really just need to be able to set a meeting date to hold, to relook at the scope of the project. Yeah.
Thank you, Kathy. Councillor Cassidy.
So I'd like to go ahead and move that, and I would suggest that we would have a steering group meeting on the same day as the planning meeting. I think that would work well.
Yeah.
We do have a budget workshop that day too. I'm suspicious that...
I think that we could probably...
We do have a couple of development applications coming up at the planning committee, plus review of the public open space policy. So we will have three items on our agenda.
And then we've got a budget meeting.
Yeah.
Let's just sort of dice some Kim to a little bit of work.
We've got some dates happening, haven't we, General Manager?
Through the Mayor, it depends how much of a priority. I mean, whether you can put it off until after the budget process in July, or whether you want to keep it going and keep pursuing it, that's totally up to you. But you do have your workshop dates and you do have your bus trip dates.
I think Damien was eager to get it progressed.
I think this, if I may continue, the Chair, I think, Jim, you know, we could probably spend 5 minutes on a steering committee issue, only so we can keep this thing marching forward. So if we could just steal 5 minutes of time during the planning meeting, if that's okay with you.
20 minutes or something, yeah.
All right.
If I may, through the chair, please. So you're looking at a meeting to review the current scope of works document that will go out for tender. How about if that document was changed before the meeting? So you are literally just looking at the changes.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. So the recommendation was moved by Councillor Cassidy. Did I have a seconder for that?
Sure.
Councillor Wright. Okay. And the recommendation was for discussion and setting a date for the next steering group meeting. And that date would be, has anybody got the date?
9th of May.
9th of May. Thank you, Kathy.
So we should be able to slot that in just before the budget.
before the budget meeting. So it'll be 9th of May before the budget meeting. That should work okay, I hope.
Depends how much time, long as I'm through there. Long as everybody's happy with the timing, I don't know what sort of time.
Yeah.
Have you set a time for the budget meeting to start?
It was to start after 10 o'clock after the planning meeting, sort of. But.
Is it May or June?
May. It is May.
9th of May.
I can't do 9th of May.
Allow another half an hour.
How
long do we normally take on budget meetings? About 2-3 hours or something.
Sometimes it takes a while, don't they? Okay, so we've set the date for the 9th of May. And you will be given a reminder, obviously, for that one before the budget meeting. Alrighty. So, those for that recommendation, is there anyone against that recommendation? Alright, that's carried. Thank you. Planning permits under delegation. You have listed, you would have read all those. The animal control. Sorry, Councillor Honour.
This one is visitor accommodation, and that, have their rates changed to a commercial rate? Because they are a business.
Where is the motive? I haven't got it on the floor.
No, you haven't opened.
Can I just have a mover? Would you move that, Councillor Honour?
Yes.
And seconder, Councillor Cassidy. Sorry, that wasn't on the book, so I missed it. Councillor Honour again.
Like these visitor accommodations and that, Airbnb, are they rated as commercial?
No. So rates are set on valuation. So if the valuation doesn't, the only time that will change is if the valuation changed. So no, they don't, there's not a commercial rate as such for any property.
All right. So shops and all that don't get charged?
Well, it's on their valuation, I guess.
Right. Yeah. No, no.
Whatever the valuation commission.
That's just what we want to clarify, that's all. So no. Thank you.
Any other questions, councillors? Councillor Cassidy.
So let me clarify, Kathy and Louisa, on Julie's point. So let's just take any commercial property or shop that we see here. Now, that valuation is set as a commercial enterprise, or is it just set on the building and the real estate that is sitting upon? Or how is that? Because I think it's important to know or differentiate. I mean, especially if, you know, we've only got 2,200 to 2,500 ratepayers. I think we should look at some commercial aspect of, you know, is it fair that Ma and Pa that's just got a small, humble abode, same lot size, same building size, pays the same exact rate as somebody who's actually, you know, making a commercial?
Can I respond to these?
Yes.
Sure.
So the visitor accommodation, the use is still residential, it's not a commercial use. So in the planning scheme, it is still a residential use.
Do they not need a business license?
It's similar to if you were renting out one of your bedrooms or renting your property out. Visitor accommodation can be camping spots, caravan spots, it can be a whole house or a few rooms in a house. So the use is still residential, therefore it is different to a shop, which is commercial.
I stand corrected, thank you.
So there's already
already
a difference between commercial and residential in that if you live in your house, you don't pay land tax.
No.
If you don't live in your house and it's a commercial business, you pay three times the council rates on land tax, which is way, way more than rates. So that they're already hammered.
That's true.
So I'll put the recommendation up. It was moved by Councillor Honour, second by Councillor Cassidy. Those four. Is there any the CES report from March be received? Thank you. Is there any other questions for Louisa or Kelly?
Thanks for that.
Thank you very much. So we'll move on to 23.1, Works and Services Report. May I have a mover into the report, please? Everyone put their hand up for that one.
No,
I think it was
Councillor
Honour won that one.
Why don't we go straight to receiving it?
You've got no one against, that is carried. Welcome, Jason. How are you?
Good, thanks, Mayor. Morning, all.
Morning, Jason.
The seconder was Councillor Meacham, I think, was it?
Yes.
Yes, Councillor Meacham. Councillor Honour. She was a quick draw.
It's that finger.
Okay. We've got 23.2, Preparing Australian Communities Programme.
What? Did you pass that?
Yes. It was carried.
Oh, was it real? I'm sorry. Apologies.
That's all right. We keep it.
Oh, gosh. All righty. So there's no questions for Joseph.
No, can I ask one
question, please?
We did, Joseph.
For his report.
Okay.
Can I suggest that we just slow down a little bit?
Yes. We're getting too quick.
With the minute-taker and I weren't sure of who moved then, we just need to just slow things down a little bit, please.
Councillor Miller, then Meacham.
Couple of things. The footpaths at Hamilton, they seem to be heavily pickled. Do you know what they're doing with that? Because weeks ago they promised to do our driveway and they said, oh no, we'll leave that, and they're down the other end and there's bits here and bits there.
So hickledy pickledy is in, I've missed some and then further up the road.
Yeah.
So it's got a lot to do with the underground assets. There's not a lot that they can do. So they've had to have Telstra and other contractors come in and repair some of the... There was some asbestos Telstra pits that had to be replaced, and we've had to lower some of the underground assets on the Telstra line. So that's why. Yeah.
Okay. And the other thing was the speed signs. I've noticed even over the weekend they've been leaving their speed signs up. Now people think, yeah, there's something happening, and they go down to 40 and all of a sudden realise there's no one there and they take off again. So I didn't think they were allowed to sleep.
Yeah, they are. They are. Yeah, so just because there's no workers, it doesn't necessarily mean that they can't lower the speed and keep it at a lower speed. So because it's still a work site, they're entitled to do that under their traffic management plan. I wouldn't think it'd be an issue there because, I mean, it's only slowed down to 40 from 60 and for a very small distance.
It being left up.
If it was a larger sort of work site, we'd look at it, but I think it's justified there.
Just need to verify it. Thank you.
Councillor Meacham.
Well, Jason, I thank you again for your curious and prompt response to the roading concerns around the whole LGA. But specifically in the program for the next 4 weeks, it's got Tyson Crescent Junction.
Yes.
What's envisaged this week?
So I am going to bring forward to council for consideration at budget time to have both entrances at Tyson Crescent. Mix.
Yeah.
But the northern junction is...
It's terrible.
So I'm just going to do some minor repairs there. To try and keep it safe.
Just about launch going into
until hopefully that's considered a budget time, because obviously if it's considered a budget, then there's going to be a process by the time it gets to being completed. So it's just we'll do some minor repairs there.
That's helpful for me talking to locals.
Yeah.
Councillor.
The old male toilet, that'd be replaced something like the east toilet or you just have to refurbish it.
As far as I'm aware, no, it'll be sort of similar to the ones that have been replaced.
Yeah,
one of those kit ones, yeah. So that's part of the grant. LRCI grant that council got. Council Meacham, obviously it hasn't been passed. Council, that they
get a discussion.
Yeah.
That's fine. It's a capital item.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other questions in regard to the report? Okay. Alrighty. I'll put the recommendation forward. It was moved by Councillor Honour, second by Councillor Meacham, that the Works and Services report for March be received. May I have those for that?
Kim was talking about before.
You've already moved it.
Because I've got a bit of confusion with my pages, so we'll have to sort that out later. I normally put the recommendation first, whereas at the moment it's last, so it's throwing me off track a bit. But never mind, we can work on that. Alrighty, 23.2 is preparing Australian Communities Program, the grant. There's no report provided for this month. 23.3, variable messaging boards for noting, that's a little good.
Can I just ask Jason about this one, the flood mapping? Do you know whether they came and had a look?
I'm sure.
Yeah, because she seemed to be a bit dismissive of the concept that willows can contribute to the flooding. But she said she'd come back and look at it, but I wonder whether that's happened.
Right.
We'll leave that to Jason to chase up then.
Well,
there's not a lot you can do, really.
No, what can you do?
But the
worry is that we'll get a report and they haven't looked at it.
Yeah,
I think that would be, they're going to obviously say, you know, weed management within the willows, within that section.
She seemed to be quite dismissive of the concept that willows contributed to much flooding.
Okay.
I thought that she took on board looking at that choke point.
I thought she was taking a whole lot on board.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I was just wondering whether she'd actually done that. Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, if I may say,
Councillor
Cassidy. I seem to recall that she asked for some further input, and I provided some input, but I received no reply, so I thought, well, she's not interested, or maybe she didn't read it, I don't know. So, I don't know, I sort of feel like there's a little bit of a shortfall, or maybe they just have their own direction that they're going in, and they're not paying too much attention to what was said.
It needs to be followed up, obviously.
That's what I feel. I get a gut feeling, you know. I asked about some, because, well, she said about this one dam up here she didn't feel it was necessary to be constructed, as I recall, up on Campbell's property, that it wouldn't contribute much. And so I asked her, well, what about this dam or that dam? How does that, you know, if that's not going to have any effect, then. Anyway, I got no reply at all. Okay. I don't know, maybe is it possible we need to bring them back in and have a talk with us face to face? And I don't know, do you think it would do much good, Jason?
I think it's sort of been difficult from the start on the conception of what council actually wanted and what they're actually trying to give. And whether or not they understood what we wanted to try and get out of the whole project, I'm unsure. I mean, we've met with them on quite a few occasions now, and I thought that we'd sort of raised most of the concerns we wanted them to follow up, but maybe another one to ask some of these concerns that probably haven't been followed up.
Mm-hmm. I just think that, you know, throwing a whole bunch of data points at us doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot. You know, at the end of the day, what does it all mean, and what is going to contribute to council insofar as mitigating flooding in the future? I mean, now that we're able to identify, or should be able to identify, the flood-prone areas and the risk to the municipality or to, let's say, Bothwell area, for example, River Clyde area. I mean, once we've got this information, then, you know, how are we going to act upon it?
Well, that'd be up to council.
Yeah, I understand.
So I suppose that information that they are going to give council part of this study is to, you know, obviously the bridge is too small and you've got X amount of flow coming down, and this is what size bridge is required to, and then the next stage is to for council to get a design gun and go to tender and if they wish and get works done.
I just feel like maybe they're not listening. Especially on this issue about the willows. I mean, I recall that she made a difference about 100-year events. Willows not having any, I think, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous.
I mean,
we've got photographs to prove, you know.
Don't dispute that. Yeah. I mean, if you wish to speak to them again, you know, in regards to the willow situation, I don't think I was even here for that, but yeah.
Probably not. And it says, you know, the monthly report, or March report, hasn't been provided as yet. And it's been indicated that the final report is being prepared for councillors, so we're waiting on them.
Once you get that final report, I suppose, you know, if you've got concerns then, Councillor Cassidy, you know, we can do it.
So I guess we're waiting on the final report, councillors, correct?
And they'll give a draft final report, do you think?
Are we happy with that, councillors?
Yes.
Waiting on the final report. 23.3 is a variable messaging board. They look great, Jason.
Yeah, so that was part of the Black Summer Bushfire grant.
Well done.
That council put an application in for. The other two, so we've got three now within council, three of those VMS boards that can be utilised for different scenarios around the municipality.
Very good, well done. 23.4, proposed speed limit change, Westaway Ellendale Road.
I suppose that all councillors sort of over or understand exactly where it is, so this request has come in from the Westaway Community Hall Association, I believe. So I'll probably just show you on their map that they've put here at council.
Can I move the recommendation first?
Sorry.
Please, can I have a mover? Second to Councillor Miller. All right. Off you go, Jase.
So basically, on this map here, so if anyone's familiar with the Ellendale Road and the bridge at the Ellendale Road, so that's council's municipal boundary. Yeah. So we've got Ellendale Road here, okay, this is the bridge, and then this is Gordon River Road, okay. So over the bridge it comes into municipality of Duart Valley Council. And the actual Gordon River Road is a state-owned road. So it is a little bit untidy at the moment. You've got Gordon River Road coming from National Park as a 50 kilometre towards the intersection here. Coming from Bushy Park, it's currently 60. And on our council road, Ellendale, it's currently 60. Okay. There are some issues around the intersection here, which is on the Department of State Growth. That they talk about, discuss in that letter, which I had an on-site meeting out there with representatives from Durham Valley and State Growth, and we don't really have to be concerned about those issues there. So the request from the community currently, what would it be to the fire shed, Councillor? 500 metres?
Probably a bit more.
From where the community fire station is, down to the bridge is 60, okay, on our road. So their request is for council to change it from 60 to 50 to the bridge. Now, speaking to the DSG reps out there on site, they say that this actually meets all the requirements to stay at 60, okay? But they said, you know, if council was to change, then that would really put the pressure on, and most likely the state government would change their side of the road, considering this was already 50 coming from this way, okay? Mm-hmm. Along with a supporting letter from Duart Valley Council. Mm-hmm. So the request is for the council, if council wish to do so, is to change from 60 to 50. Now the process for us is that we need to put some traffic counters out over probably a 4 to 6 week period, gather some information, and I don't know if all elected members are aware of the situation in the speed limit change. It's got to be approved by the Minister of Transport, so we don't have the authority to change the speed limit, even as the road manager. So we then have to have a request from council, a motion moved at council to put forward to the minister with a report, preferably done from a traffic engineer. So I can put the traffic counters out, gather the information, and that'll obviously show what speeds vehicles are doing, what types of vehicles, how many, all that sort of stuff. And then we can engage a traffic engineer to put a report together to submit to the minister with the request from council for change, if that's what council wishes to do.
So you're saying it would be best if council get you to put out the...
Well, if council wish to change it from 60 to 50, yeah. If they do, then that's the first step. We put out the traffic counters, gather the information, and then get a report done from a traffic engineer to submit to the minister for change. If council are content with the 60 through there, there's no recorded crash history, I believe, currently. So there are no recorded crashes within that section of the proposed speed limit change. So if council are content leaving it the same, then, yeah, we don't do nothing, obviously.
Thanks, Jason. You had something to say?
Through the Mayor, all I was going to say, what Jason, the process he's saying, that is a requirement. It's not as if we decide what we do. That is the requirement. If you decide to apply for a change of speed limit, this is the requirement that we have to go through.
All righty.
Yeah.
Councillor Cassidy,
mm-hmm.
and then Councillor
Honour. So then, Jason, are you looking for a motion for you to progress this speed limit change process? If so, then I'm putting that forward from 60 to 50.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, I've put it up for discussion, I suppose, because there's never been an issue raised before to myself in regards to it being changed, but no recorded crash history. But in saying that, I know that obviously all the residents and the locals out there have got great concerns about it, and they're there all the time, and I'm not, so and obviously this intersection, there's line of sight issues here with this intersection on the state government road, which are not really easy to fix, because the house that's closest to the bridge is actually built out close to the road. The speed limit obviously changed from 60 to 50 would improve that safety of that intersection, no doubt.
So we've got Councillor Cassidy moving a motion. I've got Councillor Honour waiting to speak.
I'll second the motion.
I've got two seconders happening here.
We have travelled that road numerous times, and really 50 is fine. We just find that we're driving at that speed anyway.
Yep.
No. So I don't think 10 kilometre change is that drastic.
Alrighty, so Councillor Cassidy.
Can I ask Jason a question?
What's the motion? The motion for Councillor Cassidy first.
Oh, well, doesn't matter.
Can I just get the motion first?
Oh, okay.
And then we can speak to it.
You know, you've already got one motion already on the board.
What's that, to install the traffic counters?
No.
No.
No, you had an original motion, Councillor Honour and Councillor Miller, to open up the discussion.
Yes.
On the books.
Did I carry that? Is that carried?
No.
Oh, okay. So can I please carry that motion? Is there any against that one? No. So we move on to...
Cassidy.
Councillor Cassidy with a motion.
Yes, ma'am.
Can I second his motion?
Well, Councillor Honour has said she's...
That's okay.
And so you could have the motion, please.
Part of the motion will be for Works and Services Manager Jason Branch to progress investigation processes for reducing the speed limit from 60 kilometers per hour to 50 kilometers approaching the bridge on Allendale Road.
Yep.
So that's moved by Councillor Cassidy. Who was that seconder? Are we going to argue about that? Bailey or Honour? Bailey? Okay, Councillor Bailey, all good.
Yes, we are too.
Are you happy, gentlemen, to reply to all the group in regards to say that council have council agreed?
Yes, because I mean, once this is passed and moved, that you've been instructed to undertake the investigation of changing the speed limit.
So,
but of course, long as they're fully aware, it's still it's a process, and that it doesn't mean, just because council approves it doesn't mean that it will actually happen.
And that's the thing that council probably needs to be aware of.
Before I put the motion to the table, Councillor Orr, did you have a comment?
I've got three points. It's just, there's a real mismatch. If you're coming from Westaway, coming from National Park, can I use your map, Jason?
Absolutely.
If you're coming from National Park, you're down to 50, and then you're actually still required to be 50 going back towards Bushy Park, right, until you get up in the hill. But if you're coming from Ellendale, you're actually 60 and you don't have to drop down to 50 without, it's just a total mismatch.
Yeah, definitely.
And we've got no, what's the word, it's pragmatic to go down to 50.
Okay, so I'll put that motion of Councillor Cassidy's up, the second by Councillor Bailey. Those for the motion? Is there any against the motion? Excellent, carried.
Yeah, so just, I suppose, we'll get the traffic counters out, the report undertaken by a traffic engineer and send that to the minister, but there is always the possibility that the information supplied from the traffic counters may not warrant the change, and where it's located, I'm unsure. I haven't done too many of them, to be honest, but we'll wait and see, I suppose, when it gets to that step, if it's approved or not. So I'll reply to the community association and just let them know that council are in agreement for the proposal change, and then we'll start our process.
We tried that process at Meadowbank and they knocked us back. We want to get it down to 50.
No,
we
wanted to get it down to 40,
40.
And then they wouldn't propose that, so only allowed us to go to 60.
Something like that.
That's right, it will.
It's not a foregone conclusion.
Not yet. I mean, it's something we can probably have a look on the bus tour anyway.
Did anyone pass on to Jason that they have lifted the grid at Lyawini?
Yeah.
We don't go down in anymore.
Yeah, right.
No
more breaking excellence.
When did they do that?
2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you, Councillor.
So, and I suppose just for councillors, with the large capital projects that are underway at the moment, obviously the stormwater stage 2 in Boffles going really well at this stage. I think they've probably laid around 200 metres of pipe. They've hit rock, which is unpleasant for the contractor, but good for us because it was all submitted in the lump sum. When they submitted the price for tendering, so no doubt they allowed for some, but probably not all, so Hitting Rock's not real pleasant for a contractor, but yeah, so no, that's all going well, the footpath and bottle footpath replacement, so removing the existing gravel and putting the hot mix down, I think it's going along really well, there's been no issues there. And the Hamilton footpath, that's going along well. We have had a couple of little variations there, the notable one being that the Telstra was like 70 mil under the footpath, so not deep enough to get the basing for the footpath and actually get the concrete in, because you've got 120 mil base and obviously 100 mil concrete. And good old Telstra, it's at council's cost to lower the asset.
Oh.
So, you know, that
you can do
it. Yeah, that looks, so that's been a little bit of an issue, and some couple of little variations that you probably don't scope out in the works at the time. I think we were 1,000-acre lanes come up really well. It's almost but complete. There's some guardrails to be installed in the white line. Obviously that did go over budget a little bit, but the variations for that and the extra funding request has come to council. Yeah, but everything else is, seems to be going along well with the capital works.
Small on job, that.
Well done. Councillor Miller and Cassidy.
Yeah, I'll agree that 1,000-acre lane is brilliant, thank you. Mm. Do we have any idea when these footpaths will be?
I would like to think Hamilton would be what I'll be now. I would like to think, I would say halfway through May.
Right.
I'm hoping if there's no more hold-ups, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's say 3 weeks. Because I think it's very, very close.
It has been good.
Yeah, no, it has.
It's been brilliant.
Councillor Cassidy.
Yes, through the chair and Kim, if we could ask Jason to perhaps contact Stornoway, the contractor for the State Growth Road, Highland Lakes Road, and especially where Little Den Creek is. Somebody's taken a heap of food wrappings and litter and rubbish and thrown it into that little turnout at Little Den Creek. The only thing is, last night as I was driving home, I saw a devil in there and so forth, but the food is attracting the devils to run across the road.
I can contact them. I mean, unfortunately, it's an ongoing issue there.
Yeah. The other issue, if we perhaps could put something either in the digest or maybe in the race notices. You know, I drive that High Lights Road, very, 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 very frequently, as Julie does with the school bus. And if we could discourage folks from throwing their food. I see chips, I see chicken bones, etc. thrown, and where they throw it, it's not on a straightaway, they always throw it on a curve, on a blind curve, so you're coming nail a wildlife as you're coming around the curve. So I would like to see if we could just put something in the public space to discourage people from doing that.
Hey, stop that, Councillor Cassidy. I'm unsure. Yeah, I mean, I think we've noted it before in the digest and in local magazines, and it's, unfortunately, it's a lot of the network within the municipality. And you know, the roadside litter, I can know vouch for our guys that may go through, and we don't do. You know, obviously we've got a budget on the amount that we pick up, but we can go through and pick up the roadside litter on one of our municipal roads and go back 3 weeks later and it's just as bad.
I'm not saying
hopefully the bottles and the cans, because they're about to pass that 10 cent.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that may improve the roadside litter with bottles and cans. It's terrible and it is a disgrace.
Councillor Miller and
I agree with you on that, on the rubbish. When I used to walk up to the showgrounds,
yeah.
I used to take rubbish bags with me, and I'd pick up anything up to 3 or 4 huge, ropey bags of rubbish, and that's only between the bridge and the showgrounds.
Well,
and
I could vouch that myself on Hollow Tree Road at the intersection of the Mile Highway and the little pull-off that's 40 metres adjacent to the lower highway, I could vouch maybe four times a fortnight, you know, I'd pick up at least a garbage bag full of rubbish, two garbage bags full of rubbish where someone pulls up there and just unloads their car.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy. And what you find on the side of the roadside litter is incredible.
Councillor Bowden, then Hall.
Just a question, and it's kind of related, but the council somehow got the Pubu No Beer Corner encouraged the government to do it, which is fantastic when you think of all the accidents over the years. The other bit between Bothwell and the Midlands Highway is the Den.
Mm.
I wonder if council could push the government to try to make it a bit safe, as in even a couple of feet wider or something.
Well, that, as we probably know, that Pub No Beer Corner upgrade was on the capital works list for the state government for probably 20 years and never really gained any priority until the mayor sort of really and council really pushed that and was able to get it through. But as for a council, I reckon it'd be great. I mean, with the proposed wind farm and that's on the cards. Yeah. That for a cartage route, then you know there's definitely options for upgrades down there, and it's probably you're probably right.
Got that much.
Yeah, absolutely. Trucks. I mean, it's probably one of those roads that has been the volumes of traffic now from Melton through to Maloney Bothwell Great Lake. Yeah, it's and there hasn't been a lot of work done, as we'd all know, over the last probably 50 years.
A metre would make
a lot. And Jason, can you recall that drainage seepage come over the bank there on the Den?
Oh, look, that's I don't really know too much about that, but I know it's just an ongoing issue.
Basically patched up, yeah.
But that's something that may have to be looked at for the routes of these towers and that. If that was to go ahead for the cartage from between Melton and Bothwell, would it be a good thing? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because there was probably not enough that got done last time. There was a couple of corners, but you know. Even in the main street of Bothwell here, you know, like you've got a drop off on the highway that's probably that deep. That's always like that, you know, and that's the responsibility of the state government. You know, even just half a metre coming through the main town.
Yeah.
Mm.
Councillor Hall and Cassidy.
With the rubbish issue, I think it's I know what Councillor Cassidy said about bringing in digest and then a rape notice. Well, I don't think it's the right part to do this. I just think there's just so many trucks in the area that just dump their rubbish. I mean, and that there is not going to counteract the visitors, you know, side of it.
The big thing that you find, obviously, once waste levies are increased in suburbia, where's all the waste generally end up?
Exactly.
Mm. No, it gets too expensive to take it to a landfill or a waste transfer station site, and someone keeps a bag or some tyres in the back of the vehicle and they get up to the remote areas and throw it out and dump it. It's terrible. The fridges and tyres, it's unbelievable.
Councillor Cassidy?
So, to wrap this up, two parts. I would like to then... Perhaps we could write a letter to the owners / managers of the McDonald's and the KFC there and Kentucky Fried Chicken to see if they could put up some signage in their shop, please do not litter. Because, I don't eat in those places, I'm sorry.
But it's if I can say, Mayor, it's on all their wrap, their packages.
Yes. All right, so anyway, we'll blow by that. The other point I'd like to pick up on Scott and Jason's point about straightening the road, perhaps, considering Guy Barnett and Michael Ferguson are big into the wind farm, Marinus Link, and this corridor, the power corridor, maybe it's a good time that we hit them up to start thinking about straightening and widening that road in advance of wind farm traffic and so forth. Maybe we could get them working now.
By the letter, maybe.
Yes, and so is it possible. Yeah.
Councillor Miller, and then we'll tie it up.
Okay, just thinking of what we've been talking about, I don't know that it's a good motion or not, but maybe we could put signs up saying that there is waste bins so many kilometres down the road. So instead of just tossing them, especially with the caravans and everything, that we could put some sort of bins down there and just say that there's so many, yeah, so that they might, hopefully, might wait and not just throw their stuff out.
I think it's a waste of time.
Yeah, I think
they won't throw it in their own or their business.
No, I'm thinking of those that are totally.
And it's not, it's more.
Because I have seen it with the caravans, they just get out and they just fill
a bin.
One of our bins on the road with that. But if they're travelling, and we can let them know that there is a waste site, so you know, so many kilometres down the road.
I don't think
we'll
check them off.
You know,
we can further discussion in the workshop.
Yeah. I'd like to bring that as further discussion.
For a workshop?
Yeah, because we need to do something with it.
Yes, okay. Thank you, Jason. Very much. Well done.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Jason.
Okay.
Thank you.
Recommendation for number 24 is administration services. Where's the recommendation?
Right down the bottom.
Discussion papers
24.1 discussion papers. That's addressing council's conduct of merit-based recruitment in councils. Where's that? It strongly encourages that councils, councillors, and council staff provide feedback on these important reforms, which is welcome up to midnight on the 19th of April, which is 23. There you go. Plenty of time.
I'll move that.
Move the council acknowledges and receives the addressing councillor misconduct and merit-based recruitment in councils discussion papers. It was moved by councillor Miller, second by councillor Bowden. Four. Again, carried.
It's always on a competition, isn't it?
No discussion on that. 24 points. Sorry, Captain Miller.
Yeah. I just can't believe that you have to legislate that people be appointed on merit. Fee received or family connection? Those are the only exceptions I can think of. I just astounded at it anyway. But yeah, no doubt. It's comment. Put it down as comment. Yes.
Can I ask? So from what I read of this, they're asking us to the council to invite comments on the.
On papers.
Oh yeah, yeah. On the reform.
Yeah.
The, have we? We've done that, haven't we?
Council
yeah. Or staff.
General manager.
Through the mayor, the letter that came through originally was provided to you at the last council meeting through the mayoral announcements.
Yep.
Not only are these two discussion papers provided for council, it's staff, it's the public, it's everybody. Right. It's public comment.
Mm-hmm.
So you can make public comment yourself or as a collective. It was advised at the last council meeting they were here.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to make sure they were on the agenda, to make sure the public were advised that these documents were a part of our sector being discussed, as well as, because as we know, the addressing councillor conduct, that's been ongoing for some time to do with the model framework, code of conduct, reviewing of the panel. The merit base, as Councillor Meacham went and said about the merit based recruitment, that came about by, in February, an integrity commission report that was tabled to do with a Tasmanian council that they believe there was 8 recruitments at a council under the integrity commission believed that wasn't done correctly because it was done in-house. For me as a GM, that's a tiny little bit unsettling because if I read that fully, you have to be very careful of internal promotions and things like that. They're sort of stating that everything must go out externally. Every movement, every employment, every adjustment must go externally. It's not always possible to get the correct resources and the correct staffing resources. And if you, as any sort of business, if you highlight and see people that might have certain skills within, then as a manager, you might not be able to offer any change within. And this is, and if you'd like, this is the report. And I must admit, if I can say, the first part of the merit-based recruitment was to do with the 2021 audit of general managers recruitment. I knew about that. I was part of that internal audit report through TAS Audit. But that was a couple of years ago, whereas this is only a couple of months old and instantly we've got discussion paper on it. So it's when they want to move quickly, if I can say they move quickly. Yes. So that is available remotely, but this is the document that feeds into this. The other one is the TAS Audit Office GM recruitment, where that was to making sure that GM appointments go right through the correct appointment and process, HR process, advertising. There have been a couple of councils where internal promotion has occurred, where they've done succession planning and planned for somebody to come up through, but according to TAS Audit, and not so much the Integrity Commission, they believe that's not best practice. So it's probably a bit uncomfortable for a couple of GMs, current GMs that are sitting in the chair that have come that way. But if you look at it straight for what it is, the Integrity Commission's that everything has got to be open and above and fully in the open, public arena for any sort of movement.
Arguments.
Councillor Bowden, Councillor.
When you're, say, a manager and you employ people and you have good staff and you, and then other staff see that staff that do well go up through the business, that's a really good thing. They're talking about cutting that out and you have to get something.
Well, the main thing I think with it, the main thing around this, and I know it's operational and that sits in my field, it's in my domain, not so much the councillor's domain, it's because we are a public, open government public authority. It is not, if it was your private business, it's your money, it's your business, your how you run your business, whereas we're public, we're in the public arena, we're using ratepayers' money, so therefore we've got to be open and transparent and be very open about our processes and our HR practices.
Not to be seen as...
No.
Councillor Cassidy would like to speak in council
age. That's all right. So, let's say, Kim, if you identify someone within the Bothell and Hamilton offices who you would like to see in a particular position, is it not just simply a matter of advertising the position and then even our council employees, they can compete for it?
Yes, that is the normal practice. But you can also advertise a lot of general HR practice. You advertise internally first for a position that's opened up. If you don't have anybody apply or is appropriate internal, then you go external. I'm fully supportive of this, but it is a little bit, I don't know how to use the right word, disappointing, I suppose, because through best practice, you try and have a regular performance appraisals. You encourage your staff to take on more training, more promotion, and to encourage them to learn more, so therefore opportunity will be for them later on. So therefore, to allow internal promotion and encourage. So if you're encouraging people fully, and of course this is where things happen, where people are acting in a role, you know, for months on or a year or two, it goes advertised, they don't get the role. You have that can work in reverse. Yes, you might get someone that's good on paper, but are they best for the office and for the management? But we do have to be open. But that sort of encouraging your current staff to take on and learn more, to be able to step into higher roles when opportunity arises, it's a little bit disconcerting, you know, that if an opportunity arises, why couldn't a manager put them into that? Because they've proven that they're able to do the role, you've got it, best practice, you've witnessed it, seen it, people have worked with people, but I better stop.
So,
okay. I think I've got sorry.
Well,
I'm on the public record of that. So
Kim, if you could clarify in my mind, and perhaps for the rest of the council, assume that you would like to have another greater driver, and you know your supervisor of those staff members, he's identified this guy's one hell of a truck driver, and this guy, he's, you know, great with this, and he comes to you, you know, I really need another greater driver. So what is your process today versus what they want tomorrow?
They're basically similar. It just it depends on whether you can directly. I think they're aiming for direct appointment as well as not declaring pecuniary, you know, interests. Whether you know, hypothetically, somebody employing their best mate or employing their wife in a role, that sort of thing, that cannot occur. It shouldn't occur in the public arena, but it's very difficult. And I mean, dealing with pecuniary interest or even conflicts, is the smaller you are, the greater it is open. Mm. And I mean, we know that. We have people here that are relatives, neighbours, friends, that sort of thing. We're not in... that's our environment, but we have to deal with that conflict. But for example, like a greater driver, I know this is my arena, it's not council's, I'm just putting that, making sure you're clear, but I would like to encourage, if somebody puts up their hand and say, look, I'd really like to learn that, or we ask, does anybody want to do a training course? I would love to be able to encourage our workforce to take on training courses, improve their skills, that sort of thing, and have an aim to be a greater driver. Say some of our younger ones, do your training, do your things. But when it gets to the crutch point of putting them in that role as greater driver, I will have to advertise it externally. It, that's what it tells you.
Yeah.
And that is probably where I'm a little bit conflicted, but I'm fully aware of the correct process. But it is a little bit disheartening because you try encourage your staff to learn and take on.
Knowing that you have to advertise.
But they just have to approve, I suppose, also help them with their interview skills and things like that to make sure they're confident enough that they actually come out on top.
So knowing that you have to advertise this position for greater driver, then
hypothetically, we haven't got one,
I'm just saying hypothetically. So now then, does that not make you reluctant to spending money for training?
No, I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. No, I wouldn't be reluctant. No, okay. I'd still want to encourage my staff to take on training, but it is to a point where you do all that, but then. You know, are they the best person? You know, if somebody comes in, they've been a greater driver hypothetically for 15 years, well, they might be the best person for their role.
Thank you. We have Councillor Meacham, Baylin, Miller.
Jim can speak very well for me.
I'm speaking quite openly.
Councillor Bailey.
I'm right, thanks.
You're right now. Councillor Miller.
I don't
hypothetically talking to what? Councillor Cassidy was saying, do we have an apprenticeship that would navigate or not? Like, if we needed, say, can we use an apprenticeship?
Okay, we don't have an apprenticeship, but I can very much say we had a new young guy start on Monday as a traineeship.
Traineeship.
At the depot. I'm very supportive, my personal opinion, very supportive of traineeships because it gets them a start. Very much trying to support local people leaving school with traineeships. But once again, a traineeship does not guarantee a permanent position at the end of that. But they do end up with a qualification, like a Cert 3 or 4 in civil construction, which does set them up for further. If we haven't got a position available, then they've at least got a qualification to go on and apply elsewhere.
Alrighty, we will move on. Thank you very much. 24.3, tartan rug purchase for the Central Highlands Visitors Centre. Council has received a request from the coordinator of the Central Highlands Visitors Centre and Australasian Golf Museum to purchase additional Tasmanian tartan rugs from Waverley Mills in Launceston. And we're going down to the recommendations.
Oh, what is it, Mayor?
Now, can I just say it?
And you'll say,
come on.
Please let me read it. This is all fun.
That
the council purchased 90 Tasmanian tartan rugs from Waverley Mills on behalf of the Central Highlands Visitor Centre for future sales at an estimated cost of $13,050 plus GST. Councillor Bailey would move it, and who seconded that?
I did not.
Sorry, Councillor Honour seconded. Now I'll put it up for discussion. The mover to speak first, Councillor Bailey.
It's proved itself that over the last couple of years that they've put their money in. They've certainly got eight and a half thousand, and then in 23 it was 6,500 or something back in. I think we should.
They're putting 15,000.
The voter is speaking at the moment.
Well, it was 8,500 and 6,500 or something there, so that's 15,000. So that'll do. I reckon they've done a good job to do what they're doing.
And the seconder is Councillor Honour. Would you like to speak to that, Councillor?
Yeah, they're very well received. I've actually had people waiting for about 2 hours till that open to purchase a blanket.
Yeah.
They've been a really good seller, and as everyone would know, the original weaver of the Tasmanian tartan has passed away. So we need to keep the Tasmanian tartan in hand in Bothwell.
All righty, so any other, Councillor Miller, then Hall?
I'm going to plead ignorance here. Do we know what the retail cost of these rugs? Because obviously they would have gone up from the last time that we purchased
it
them.
It was in the...
That's to buy them. I would have liked to have known what the retail cost would have been.
The retail cost,
I haven't got any. I mean, I'm not against it. I just would have liked to have known the retail cost for them.
Is that commercial and conference?
No.
Public.
No. What's the retail? What's the one? What do they charge at the moment? Because they'd go up from the last time, because the numbers have had to go up.
I'm not sure what the retail, somewhere like $200 something.
And they're still being out here?
General Manager.
Yes, General
Manager. The General Manager. Through the coordinator at the centre, retail them at $250 each. They've all been moving forward.
Good. Yep.
There is an element of profit margin in there for it.
Councillor Hall. I'm sorry to be a bit of a grinch, Mayor.
Okay.
It's going to be a $13,000 upfront fee to get these rugs in, or whatever they are, tartan rugs. They've still got about four left from the original 64. Do you think that is a, like, $13,000 and it's going to take 4 years to remove, to sell them ones, just by the way these rugs here are going, you know what I mean? Like, is it a good thing? Like, ratepayer money? It's a question. I'm just probably going, I'm probably beating around the bushes, but there's $13,000 going to be up front. Are we going to, and that $13,000 can't be used anywhere else, because by the looks of these rugs, if I was a business owner in the Central Highlands and I'd got 64 of these rugs in, I would think that these are only, they're just an ordinary seller, and would I continue the line after the last four have been sold?
Thank you. Okay. Councillor Honour, you were next.
All the money taken through the visitor centre is banked here. They've actually got an account here that banks their money.
I've got no issue with the sales. The money
is not coming out of taxpayers' money, it's coming out of...
But it's slow moving. It seems to be a slow moving product. I just said to you as a retailer that if I have bought 64 of these rugs and I'd sell them in my shop and they took 18 months for me to move them, would it be a really good idea to sit back a 90 rugs in the same spot and me sit on them for 4 years? I mean, would it be a good return of my ratepayer's money, of my money that I've invested in? That's a good question.
It is a good question. Councillor Cassidy.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Mayor, and some of the longer serving councillors. Some years ago, did we not talk about doing whatever we could to retain the tartan?
We most certainly did.
Here within the Central Highlands, and I think at that time it was at risk of being purchased and going somewhere else.
Yes.
And I think this is why we've gone down this direction.
Thank you.
I seem to recall.
Thank you.
Yes, I recall as well quite a bit. Councillor
Orr. I think, if I can say, Mayor, I think that that was a bottle tartan, so it must be a little bit different. But in terms of what John's saying, the money they've actually got that is sitting in the council, that's their money. And I don't believe it's right that, even though I agree with the fact that it's not very good, very fast moving item.
It's not very fast, yeah.
But I don't believe council should be providing commercial direction to them.
Okay, Councillor Miller.
As I said before, they from 2021 to February this year, they've had a return of 15,000. Now that's covered that 13,000.
So
it's their money, and they're buying. They're not buying from overseas. They're buying from Tassie. Yeah. So I'd say
the best thing to do is to put
the motion
and we'll test it. It was moved by Councillor Bailey, second by Councillor Honour, that Council purchase 90 Tasmanian tartan rugs from Waverley Mills on behalf of the Central Highlands Visitor Centre for future sales at an estimated cost of $13,050 plus GST. Could you please, I'll go round the table for or against.
Can I just ask another question? Is it the best way that council buys? Is it can the visitor centre, or because the money is the council's anyway?
Council purchase money, Tasmania Tartan Rugs.
Yes, I'm for it.
Okay, I'm going round the table. I'm going to start on the other side. Councillor Hall, for or against the motion? Okay. Councillor Hall. Councillor Bailey, you Moved it.
I'd rather be, because I'm over.
Right. Councillor Cassidy, for or against?
I'd rather vote for it.
Okay, Councillor Meacham?
For.
For. Councillor Honor, you seconded, didn't you? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Councillor Honor second. So obviously for. Councillor Bowden?
I'm for it. It'd be nice if they bought it themselves, or with council assistance or something, but anyway. I'm for it.
Councillor, so you were for, Councillor Bowden?
Yeah, for. Yeah.
Okay. Councillor Miller?
For.
It's not perfect.
And Councillor Alright, you said for, didn't you?
Ah, yeah.
I doubt they'll lose money, it's just a funny.
I would have liked it to have been less from council, because it's ratepayers' money.
That's how I look at it.
But in this particular motion, I would have to go, I'll go for.
Still a profit making.
Okay, so obviously that goes through.
I understand why they're not firing, because.
So that's carried.
I think it's.
Eight to one.
Yes, eight to one. Alrighty. Now, Lothwell District School re Anzac Day book purchase. Council has received a request from the Lothwell District High School seeking once again a donation of book to their library in remembrance of Anzac Day. All donated books will be able to be viewed at the Bothwell Anzac Day service, and each book will have a commemorative book plate acknowledging council's donation. So we normally do this, the schools, it's an ongoing thing. I thought we had an ongoing budget for this, but I might have got that. Can you answer that question? Did we have a...
Yeah, we did budget for it.
We
have actually written to us. It's on agenda.
Okay, thanks, Jen. So the recommendation, the council donate a book to the Bothwell District High School Library in commemoration of Anzac Day to the value of $60. May I have a look at the Councillor Cassidy?
Yes, I'll move it, because I want to discuss something.
Councillor second. Councillor Bailey, come in as a second or first, I heard. All right, so it's up for discussion. Councillor Cassidy, you're the mover.
May I ask, I would be willing to donate one of my books. It's $54.95. You know, I don't mind. And would that be, I mean, I'm not going to gain anything out of it. I'm not earning any money out of it, so that's not a pecuniary interest. Would you consider it as a conflict of interest if I just gave
it to you? I donate a personal book. I donate personally. Nothing to do with my council hat.
Yeah.
So there's your answer.
Could I as well do that? How would you guys feel about it if I gave my book to them?
You can do it as well. Yeah. You can do it independently.
Not as a councillor.
Instead of this?
Yeah, of course you can.
This is sitting separate, this motion. Right.
I was just thinking that, you know, we're giving away $13,050 there, but here we could recoup $54.95 of it, you know, or approximately 60 of it if I just gave it.
No, it's totally separate. This is a council. You can personally donate whatever you wish.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Of course you can, mate.
Any other comments on that one?
The books that we... I mean, it's lovely to see kids reading books, but I'm just wondering, as I put it, is it a book they wanted, or is it something else that we can electronically, that, like, you know what I'm getting at? I don't want to... It's just that...
They're asking you to donate.
But it doesn't have to be on Anzac, does it?
It's normally on Anzac, and normally the librarian, Bridget, will choose the book. She's very good at it. And councillor, school's asking council to donate to the value of $60.
Yep.
So Bridget will choose something, and those books are all presented at the service. That's how that goes. So the recommendation was moved by Councillor Cassidy, second by Councillor Bailey, and I will put the motion up. Those four. Is there any against? That is carried. Okie dokie. 24.5 of the Anzac Day services. The following services will be held throughout our municipality this Anzac Day on the 25th of April 2023. Gretna is the dawn service at 6 a.m, then breakfast at the Gretna Hotel. That's an ongoing thing. Waffle is 11 o'clock, then morning tea at the Castle Hotel. Hamilton's 11 o'clock, then morning tea at the Hamilton Inn. Fenton Ferry's dawn service at 6 a.m, then breakfast at the Westaway Hall. Arthur's Lake is the dawn service at 6 a.m. Now, Council supports all these services and meals provided afterwards. With the Gretna service, I'm the MC, and it's usually Councillor Bailey and Miller attend there. Of course, any councillor can put their hand up for any service. It's much appreciated. The bottle service on the MC, and Councillor Honour normally presents the book, and any councillors that wish to participate, you just let me know today. The Hamilton one, the Deputy Mayor is the MC, and Councillor Bailey and Miller normally assist there, and you work out what you need to do there. The Fentonbury is the Deputy Mayor at 6 a.m, is that correct, Deputy Mayor? And Arthur's Lakes is the dawn service, normally Councillor Honour, and anyone else that wishes to go along to those. So,
and they are putting breakfast on after.
Oh, that is good.
Through the Mayor, I wasn't 100% sure, so I apologise.
Last year was their first inaugural one. Okay. So, but yes, they put breakfast on after.
And for your information, Central Highlands Council also have wreaths that go out to all these memorials, and it used to be Bronte, but I think I'm not sure whether that's still happening.
That's because that road's closed.
Right.
Now, because of the, what is it, consortium or something, but they closed that road to public.
Okay. Alrighty, so that was... Looks like for your information, there's nothing for me to move.
No, it's just for the information and the public's information.
Okay. 24.6, Health and Wellbeing Plan 2020-2025, Monthly Progress Report. Due to staff being on annual leave, this has not been provided this month, so hopefully that'll go into another month, General Manager.
Correct.
24.7 is the Financial Report. Recommendation that the monthly finance report to the 31st of March 2023 be received. And Councillor Honour, Councillor Hall. Okay. Any discussion on that? Councillor Honour is the mover.
No, very straightforward.
And the seconder, Councillor Hall, any discussion on that?
No.
Councillors, any discussion around the table? Councillor Cassidy?
Yes, Mayor, just quickly ask her. I'm surprised to see it so late in the agenda this time. Is there a reason for that? Usually we have the finance report.
I think it's to do with skeleton staff, isn't it, General Manager?
Through the Mayor? No, not necessarily. The monthly report should appear under the Administration Services report. If you can see that things appear in the departmental areas in which they're responsible for. And of course, finance is part of the administration governance area.
Okay, Deputy Mayor, you had something?
Yeah, I just noticed nearly double the expenditure March from last year to this year, but I'm presuming that's to do with the construction of the road and the footpaths and all that.
Through the Mayor.
I mean, you couldn't possibly double your operational expenses.
No, it's the capital expense going out. As you know, like a 1,000-acre loan, you're talking about nearly $1 million. Yeah, so we've paid out $500,000 that way just too recently in the last couple of weeks. So, there's a lot of outgoing expenditure.
Some of these, you've got new progress payments.
Correct.
Or the footpaths, they've been going for a fair way into a progress payment. Yeah.
Yes, correct. Yeah, and a lot of these are to do with the the grant funding that you've received, yeah. and quite often these local roads and community infrastructure grants that you've got 1 to 4, quite often you've received the money before you've got the work started. So quite often you get 50%. So you've had a lot of money in the bank sitting there, yeah. when you crossed at the beginning of the financial year, and now you're actually seeing it going out.
Any other questions? Okay, I'll put to the floor that the monthly finance report to 31st of March 2023 be received. It was moved by Councillor Honour, second by Councillor Hall. Those for that motion, is there anyone against? All right, that is carried. Goody goody. Supplementary items, there is none. And I would like to thank everyone for their contribution and declare the meeting closed at 12:26.
Well done.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.